Welcome to Know Your Gear podcast number 219, brought to you by Pat Rion's Guitars. This one comes from Declan. Hey, Declan, how's it going? Declan says, Phil, if a manufacturer offered you a signature, and he's not saying what, just said signature, would you do it? If so, what style specifications would you pick? I would not. No particular reasons. I just have no interest in doing like a signature guitar based on the fact that, because you got to understand, the only logical reason for anyone to do a signature guitar with me would be because I have this YouTube platform. And I find this YouTube platform to be a communal thing. It's for the community. It's for me. And I'm not interested in that. Now, I have done things in the past where I've worked with companies to make a product, maybe a graphic on the product or a certain version of the product. And Declan is a patron, so the patrons know that I'm currently talking to a company right now about doing a limited run of something that would be connected to the channel. And this would not be a signature product so much as a product I'm already using every day. In fact, I used it on 99% of the videos that you've seen in the last year. And it would be about doing just a limited run of a cool graphic or a little bit of adjustment to it, really just to make it kind of fun for the community. Kind of like how we do the limited edition t-shirts and things like that. It's another thing to get revenue. There's another major reason why I'm not interested in a signature product. And let me explain why. The way the signature product system works is there's a couple different ways, but the main way would work for someone like me or most YouTubers is they're going to give you a percentage, and it's usually 6%. So, you know, that's a general rule. Some could get more, some will get less, but 6% is a very very normal royalty deal with a signature product. So you got to understand, and that's 6% of the profit to, or the sale price to the dealer, if it's a sold to a dealer versus straight to the public. So for instance, if you sold a product for $100 to a dealer, I would receive a 6% royalty, $6 royalty for that product. And for that to work, and this is why I don't want to do it, for that to work financially for me, okay, I would have to pitch it pretty hard to you guys. Let me give you an example. I'm already making royalties off of the fact that the videos you make, that I make in the past, continue to get watched. And then, you know, of course, YouTube has ads on there, and there's royalty-based income to me on that. There's also affiliate links. As you know, there's affiliate links in this video, every video. When you click on those links, when you purchase those items or other items just because you went to the link, there's a royalty essentially paid to me, just like every YouTube channel there as well. And that could be between 1% and, if you're lucky, 8%, but that's really high. You don't see that. But 1% to 6% is the norm of what you would see. Almost like that in what you would see if I had a signature product. The difference is I don't feel the need to pitch the buying, please buy the item down below because it will really help, because of the fact that this is a numbers game. If I, you know, this channel does about 1 million views per month collectively over all the 750 videos I make. And most of those dollars, believe it or not, a huge percentage of those dollars are not actually paid to me by you guys, but they're by the non-subscribers. Non-subscribers, as you guys hear all the time, like a broken record from most YouTube channels, is the bulk of what you're going to have, right? Most people just click on one of my videos because it has an interesting title or subject, and they watch it. They could care less about me or my personality or anything. They just literally want the information and they move on. And sometimes, that because of the fact that maybe if I did a good job explaining the product to them, they feel like this is enough information, now I can go ahead and purchase, they'll click that link and buy it. So the reason why that all matters to me is it changes the dynamic in how I want to do things. I don't want to really have to pitch to you all the time. Now, the reason that's important is also I really pride myself, although I work with companies very consistently, no one company has any, I want to say, they don't have me by the balls. Excuse my language, but it's just the way that it works. There's no company that has any significant revenue to me or a deal with me that is so important that I can't be, you know, honest with you guys about that. And so I feel very inclined. Like I said, my biggest revenue sources on this channel, and have been and always probably will be, hopefully, is my YouTube money and then my Patreon. Those are they're literally, those two things are 90% of my income off the YouTube platform, maybe 85%, because then when you factor in merch and affiliate links and stuff, and then monies or products paid to me by companies, it fluctuates. It's on the high end, it can be as high as 5% of my total income off this platform, and sometimes it can be as low as 1 or 2%. And again, I like that because I feel in control. You know what I mean? I don't need to worry at night. But like I said, I love the idea of limited edition products. And that to me is different. Here's why it's different. That's something that I can bring to you guys as, hey, because we have this audience, because we have this this communal situation with the community, we can get the manufacturer. And that's what I'm working with this current manufacturer to do, is by basically kind of saying, hey, I can guarantee you 50 or 100 units sold. Would you be interested in doing a limited edition thing? And that's actually fun. You know what I mean? For me. So Declan, that's the answer to your question, but that's why I'm not interested in signature things. Now, so you guys know, I can't read all the comments as they're scrolling by, but you know, you catch my eye from time to time. I think I saw something, a couple mentions of other YouTubers and their signature product. You got to understand, every channel is going to figure out what works best for them. It's a personality thing. It's a personality of your ethics and how you do things. Some YouTube channels are more music driven than my channel. So therefore a signature, like obviously like Pete Thorne, his signature guitar makes sense for him. He's an artist and he creates music with that guitar. So it makes sense to have a guitar. I'm not, I do review based, informational based videos. So I don't want to feel like I'm connected with any company. And think about this. I'm constantly told by viewers that I am connected with companies, which I am proudly tell them every time. There is no company that I'm connected with in any way. that like I said, there's nobody paying me, there's nobody paying my health benefits and to me or my children. They're not paying my mortgage. If anything, they just allow me, help me, just like some other, just like super chats. They're literally the same thing. They're just extra dollars that help me continue this channel. So there you go. Now, on a side note, just to finish off, I have had situations where companies have sent me product, and then literally, it's happened twice, and I'm not going to talk about the two companies, but I will tell you that what happened with these two particular companies over the last couple of years, they sent me product, and then they put me on their website as a signature artist, and literally, like as a signature product guitar, and I asked them to please remove that signature item, and because again, I don't want to associate that way. Some of you guys, of course, you know what? I think it's Bilko 06 says, don't sell your shorts short. You need a signature guitar. Look, we don't need to do a signature guitar. I'll tell you, like I said, I'll be honest. What I'm really interested in is like what I'm trying to work on right now with the product. And maybe, like I said, what I would like to do is, let's say there's a guitar that they offer and they don't offer in a cool color that I like. I would rather have a situation where I come to you guys and go, hey, are you interested in, if I can get them to make this color, would you be interested in that? But I don't want my name on it. I don't want that. It's not what I'm interested in. So there you go. All right. I hope that makes sense. Okay. next question. Now that was the self-indulgent one, let me give you the one I was actually really interested in, because I'm seeing a lot of discussion already about this out there. And this was from Michael, and it says, Phil, how can Ibanez offer the new Quest headless guitars with the 8-degree slanted frets, but they say there's no multi-scale? Now, I saw this question, so I grabbed it. Let's go ahead and let me look. Let me go, because I can give you guys visual aids at Ibanez.com, and I should be able to. Hey, look at that. There I am. Let me put myself right there. Okay. So let's, I just saw it. There it is. Come on, go back to this. I want this. Can I click on this? All right. So here's what he's asking about. This is the new Q series. I think that's for Quest. Is that what he just said? What did he say? I have to go back to where I have a saved question. Whoops, maybe not. Right there. Sorry about that. Yeah, the Quest. Okay, so the Quest series guitars. And what he's talking about, let me get a good graphic of one. Let me pull one up. And then this is interesting. I think these guitars are interesting. So, you know, I would really be super excited if Ibanez would send me out one for review. I'd be very excited. But, you know, I sometimes get lucky. Ibanez is definitely a company. If I reach out to them and sometimes they will send something, it's very exciting. But most of the time, it's really tough. Okay, so what you have here, and this is what's important, is what you have is you have the 8 degrees. It's an optical – not an optical illusion, I'm trying to say. What it is – I'm trying not to – I want to point to it, but I don't want the thing to get enlarged. Okay, so what he's talking about is usually with a fan fret guitar like this, you have a multi-scale. In other words, here at this point, the low E, maybe that would be 25-inch scale or 27-inch scale, whatever they want to set it up. In this case, let's say it's 25.5. And then on the high E string, it would be 24.75. And so if you notice, this looks like it's backwards. Like it looks like the low E is a shorter scale than the high E. But of course, if you go to this bridge, you see that this bridge, they're adjusted correctly. So what they're doing at Ibanez is they're measuring this perfectly. So this is 25.5-inch scale, I think. I'm pretty sure. Let's go down, make sure. 25.5. So 25.5-inch scale. What they're doing is they're measuring 25.5-inch scale from this point at the bridge where I'm pointing at to this point at the nut, which means halfway, right in the 12th fret, is halfway between 25.5-inch scale. Now, so this looks like it's longer. But when you come over here, you see how they adjusted? It's if you measure, you're going to get 25.5 inches from this point, where I'm pointing out of the bridge, to this point. See how they're adjusting it? Now when you look at it, hopefully you're seeing what I'm talking about. It looks like the low E is longer at first because of the way the frets are fanned. Why you would want this? Actually, I think this makes total sense. This is a perfect example. There's multiple reasons why you would want a fan fret guitar. There is the scale length issue, but I actually find that to be full of crap for the most part. I'm going to upset some guitar players. You know, some of my closest friends, you know, my teacher, Matt, he plays Strandbergs. He loves fan fret guitars. Fan fret guitars, you know, obviously the first fan fret guitars or basses that I ever saw were Dingwall. And that was this first concept, right? Let's make the scale length longer on the low E, shorter on the high E. It's a tension thing, right? It adjusts the tension. But to me, if I want a fan fret guitar, I can actually just get, I can use strings to do that. I can adjust different strings. You know, obviously we see all kinds of strings where I mean by you can go with like a 9 to 46 is to me is does the same thing as a fan fret multi-scale guitar. I shouldn't say fan fret. Let's get off the subject of fan frets. Multi-scale guitar. To me, you could make the low E on a guitar longer scale, and or you could literally just use a bigger string. Like, so I don't think you have to have a multi-scale guitar to get this equalized tension concept across. Now, I like the idea, and I think a lot of players like it. But like I said, I think there's too much emphasis put on it like it's a miracle of some sort, when really it's probably just slightly better than just doing those variated guitar strings. However, the fan fret system is a different argument. The fan fret system, of course, it has to be done because that's how the multi-scale works. But the fan fret thing is about really adjusting how your hand makes chords and feels. And this angle is an actually interesting concept. So what I mean by that is there's two things going on. There's multi-scale, which is not conditional part of the fan frets. In other words, it's not just the only reason the fan frets are there. The fan frets are also there for like the comfort and feel of it. So I think what Ibanez is doing is they're trying to find a new customer base. They're trying to say, hey, there's a customer out there apparently that wants fan frets, but not multi-scale. Yeah, I think that would be me. I actually don't dislike fan frets. I'm just not interested in multi-scale instruments. It's not something I'm interested in. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't want to poo on anyone's parade. Okay, I work on these guitars all the time for customers, and I like playing them. Like the Strandbergs play amazing. I love the necks. I love the whole thing. It's a really interesting, but it's not like the only thing I'm interested in is the multi-scale. I like the fan fret concept. Gary says, this isn't fan fret. It's tilt fret maybe. Sure, of course. It's not as extreme because, of course, without that multi-scale thing, you really can't get away with tilting them too much. I mean, really, you could adjust that nut so much. But, I mean, you know what I mean? It's going to feel a little cockeyed. That's interesting. It's an interesting idea. Think about this. What I found funny about this was I had no idea until Michael asked that question today, and I was just looking at it just now with you guys. I hadn't really looked at them, but when I first saw the ads this week for them, I thought I saw a comment loosely in the comment section like, why isn't this multi-scale? And I'm like, what's funny about this is there's two arguments, and I really find this always interesting about guitar community and their arguments they'll pose when a product comes out. There's the, same old approach. You know, like now you're just making a Strandberg. Now you're just making the same thing that everybody else. You got an Ormsby. I mean, let's be honest. If you want a fan fret headless guitar, you didn't need to wait for Ibanez. There's enough of that product in every price point out there. So Ibanez, I think, is smart in the idea that they're coming at it and saying, somebody's asking what multi-scale is. I just explained multi-scale, so you're going to have to watch the replay. So the problem is that they could just add to that pile of already existing multi-scale fan fret instruments, but I think they're trying to say, like, hey, let's make something different, right? Let's make something different. Fan frets or tilted frets, whatever you want to call them, and not multi-scale. Again, I'm not a fan, like I said, of multi-scale. When I'm saying I'm not a fan, I don't play them. I don't own a single one. It's, it's probably because, like I said before, again, you know, sometimes you have to factor in. There's a thing. I'm old. As you get old, you get stuck in what you like. I didn't play multi-scale my whole life, so when they added it, it wasn't something I was like, finally. So there you go. But interesting idea. I was really shocked that they actually came at it. I would have predicted in a million times over, Ibanez would have just joined the bandwagon and made exactly what everybody else made. So something interesting. Look, nice looking guitars, really cool. Price points seem like they're on par for what they were doing. So, Dougal Dog said, I'd like to try these tilted frets to see if they do facilitate playing significantly. Me too. That's what I said. I would be really excited if Ibanez wanted to send one of these out to the channel so I could check it out and share with you guys how I feel about that. How I feel like, you know, what do I notice? What's exciting about that? Maybe give you guys... Dirt Racer X says, Phil probably doesn't gent very much. Okay, so here's the thing. This is the issue. I just have, I'm downtuned. I have two guitars in C, drop C. I have one drop C and one standard. In other words, a C to C. And then I have a seven string as well. And I just adjust I don't adjust the scale length. I adjust the strings. Which is why they have those balance tension strings. In other words, when you see strings, these hybrid strings that you keep seeing, there's all kinds out there from all kinds of companies now. Essentially, those are the same philosophy as the multi-scales. This idea that keeping the strings, you know, obviously if you take 9 to 42s and you do drop C, that 42 gauge string is... it's going to be a little floppy. So 46 probably isn't enough. So you could go like 10 to 48 or 10 to 52 or 11 to 56, right? That's where all these hybrid strings come from, these hybrid sets. Essentially, a multi-scale guitar and a balanced tension set of strings or a varied set of strings are trying to achieve the same thing. I'm not arguing they are the same, so we're clear, because that's going to be in the comments. Like, Phil, I have a multi-scale, and trust me, you can't achieve it with just varying the strings. You know, again, to me, it's always about the argument of how much do I want a different playing guitar to get the 10% better feel? You have to ask that yourself. Me, it doesn't matter to me. So. Grumpy Mike. Oh, man. He says, I never tried a multi-scale guitar. I wouldn't mind doing so, but it's going to need a headstock. You know, my joke about headstocks and headless guitars is headless guitars and stairs have the same thing in common. The older they get, the less you want one to go, like, you know, go upstairs. So that's my joke. The older you get, the less you want it to go upstairs or have a headless guitar. I personally, I don't have a problem with headless guitars. Like I said, I have two Kiesel headless guitars. And the one thing I will tell you about a headless guitar is... they stay in tune. There's nothing to get bumped or go out of thing. Everything gets locked down. It's really nice. Essentially, in my opinion, they're just like Floyd Rose guitars, a guitar fitted with a Floyd Rose. You tune it up, you lock it down, and it's just staying in tune forever. That's kind of cool. Unlike the Floyd, though, the headless guitar can be adjusted. Like, I can still drop D or adjust the tuning very quickly. So, and then I think it's Bullyco. Bullyco 06 says, I think having those slanted frets would throw me off playing wise. In my experience, not only doing it, but watching players with fan frets, slanted frets, whatever you want to call it, most players will adjust to it within minutes of playing. Adjust meaning you don't find any issues with it at all. That doesn't mean you'll like it, but you'll adjust to it. You know what I mean? In other words, it doesn't feel so foreign to you. You can move around pretty easily. I haven't seen anybody literally go, I can't play this thing. Everyone plays it. But I've seen where players will go, okay, I'm adjusted to it, but I don't like it. And then, or I adjusted to it really quickly and now I love it. So very cool. Dougal Dog also wanted to know, hey, are the single coil pickups in the Sterling CT30 cutlass ceramic or Alnico? I only demoed and reviewed the CT50. I have no reason to believe on that educated guess that they would be using different pickups. So I would imagine they are also Alnico. I don't know if it's five or two though, two or five Alnico. There's no real way to test the magnet. That's what sucks. I was actually on the phone this week with Larry DiMargio and I was picking his brain about a bunch of stuff. And he's always so very kind with his time with me. And I learned a lot this week, actually probably more than I ever thought I would ever learn in a 2-hour, 3-hour conversation. But one of the things I kept asking was, you know, if he's ever heard or seen a way to test magnets to figure out what they are. And he hadn't really seen a way to do it very easily within, like I said, as part of the demo process, review process of the guitars. That's one thing I'd like to be able to say. A lot of manufacturers tend to not mention, like, that's what's happening with Sterling. They don't mention, they say they're Alnico, but they don't say what they are. And if they do, so I don't have a way to test to verify that's true. So I'm working on it, guys. Hold on a second.
We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Hold on. Please forgive me as I'm looking for something right now. I guess what I'll do is I'll look. Oh, I don't see it. Oh, maybe I do right there. Okay, hold on a second. I know. Okay. All right, this question from ZJ. So ZJ, so you know Amanda, one of the moderators, let me catch this. The moderators, by the way, I can't guarantee this, guys, but if you're the moderators here on the channel, if you see a question that's really interesting or something you feel that I should be addressing, just don't be afraid to copy paste it and post it. And maybe, make sure you put question marks in front of it. So I know it's for me. It gets my attention. So Amanda got my attention, ZJ. ZJ says, hey, Phil, any cost-effective way to file a singular nut on a fender replacement neck? Okay, I bought it with pilot slots already there. Okay, or do I need to buy high quality tools to do the job? Okay, so at the core of what he's asking, he needs to cut a couple nut slots or file nut slots, which are even better because he's already got they're already pre-slotted. So he just needs to widen them a little bit. I've shown on many videos, but I don't have a direct video. They're in my videos and we're going to be releasing direct videos. In other words, that just address these issues. So you don't have to watch whole videos for this. What I would recommend to you is getting some 400 grit sandpaper. Works great. You can get 600, 800. You're really going to be, it's going to be, you know, still fine. Anything above 400, I feel safe. So 400 to 600 grit sandpaper. And all you would do is whatever slot you're doing. So let's say you're doing a 32 gauge A string slot. What you would do is take the string below that. So that's what's great. You can just take a piece of the string. You know how you have a leftover string sticking up after the tuning keys hanging in the air like antennas. Take the string before the string you're going to file. Okay. So for instance, on the 32, maybe take the 24 gauge or the 26 gauge string. Take that off, the piece of it off, about 3 to 4 inches long. Wrap the sandpaper around that using that as like a filler, right, for the sandpaper. And then file it. If you watch, I have it. It's on my Sire hollow body guitar. It's on a bunch of videos where I show you how to do this. So yes, you can do it. Because you can do it with sandpaper. You just want something to help form it into the slot that's going to give you the thickness you want. Now, if you really, you can also get away with the same gauge string. So if it's a 32 gauge slot you're trying to do and you have a 32 gauge string, you can still use the sandpaper. But I'm a little nervous. I've suggested that before, and what I realized was a lot of people may not use the same sandpaper I use. I use the kind with the adhesive on the back, and so when I wrap it around a string, it kind of, and I press it in, it's really formed out. But that's the easiest way to do it. It's dirt cheap, and for smoothing out and slotting a nut slot, it works great. So like I said, check out my Sire video where I show you how to do that. And if it's not my Sire video, it's my Revolta video. It might be the Revolta. Either way, I promise, the Sire or the Revolta video. Probably the Revolta, now that I think about it. And like I said, and we are working on releasing videos of just that type of information. I've spent a lot of time over the years putting information in type of videos. And a lot of people now have trouble when they're trying to resource back to it. So we're going to do that. Okay. Let's go. How are we doing? Let's do. I still have some pinned early questions, but I want to kind of jump around a little bit, if you guys don't mind, kind of see what's then the discussion. Jeff says, Princeton ? On the Tone Master Deluxe or the Tone Master Twin, why and go? Why and go? Okay, these are the amps I'm looking at. So in other words, Jeff's looking at the Tone Master Deluxe, which I reviewed, Tone Master Twin, and which these are the Class D, digital modeled amps that model, you know, one thing, which is a 65 Deluxe or 64 Deluxe, and then the Twin, or the Princeton amp. I would buy the Princeton. That would be my advice. I bought the Tone Master Deluxe, as you guys know. I bought that amp, and I liked it. I did what I hoped and I felt was a very thorough video of giving you the things that are good about it and the things that are maybe are drawbacks to it. And I'll tell you, like I said, remember I talked about this many times. There's a thing when you do reviews, if a company sends you a product, I feel I can be very honest with that product and I can give you all the information that I would normally give you. The only thing I can't really attest to is what I call the rapture, the pain of the losing of the money from your wallet. Not everybody thinks like this, but if you do think like this, this is how I think. When I have $1,000 and I give it to somebody and they give me a product, sometimes I feel really good about that. I'm like, hey, I really like this product and it's great. And sometimes I feel like, yeah, I still like this product, but I kind of liked having my $1,000 more. And that's the one thing, unfortunately, I can't really convey the emotional response of a review, right? Sure, I could tell you what I think of the price, comparatively speaking, but it's different. And so when I do reviews and a company sends a product, which is why I put product provided and have since pretty much the day I started my channel, that's really what I want you to know, okay? Some people read into it like the honesty, dishonesty thing. Look, like I said, no company's got me scared. So, you know what I mean? It's not like I used to work in a corporate place and I wouldn't say tell off my boss, right? But I've been working for myself for 20 years now and I guess I'm my own boss, so I don't care. But in that point, when I bought the Deluxe, what I can tell you, I own a Princeton and I owned, notice past tense, the Tone Master. And I sold the Tone Master. I really liked it, but I didn't love it. And I really feel this way. For me and my needs, if it was $600, if that amp was $599, for $600, I would have kept it and used it pretty regularly. However, spending $868 for it, and that was on a sale with tax, I kind of felt like for that kind of money, I feel like I would rather just have my money back. So I sold it. I sold it for a lot less than that, but the video made some money. And so with the money that I made from the video and the sale of the amp, I caught flush. Does that make sense? And I took that money and I invested into another amp. Now somebody's asking, I think it was David. David says, do you like the Fender Tone Master Twin? One of the things I do agree with, one of the assessments is, if you don't need the Twin, the Deluxe is a great amp. I think it's great, but it is silly to me how just for a little bit more money you can get the Twin. And to me, the Twin is like not much heavier. What, 5 pounds heavier? It's a lot louder, bigger sounding with 212s. I like them both. Again, I like both amps. I do. I like both amps. It's just for me and my needs, $1,000 buys a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? And I just could, if I would have found a used one for $600, I think I would have bought it, kept it, and been totally happy with it. In fact, I can tell you this. If Fender would have sent me one for free, I'm just telling you, I would still have it. There would be no reason to get rid of it, obviously. Like, and I know a lot of you are like, yeah, if they sent me one for free, I'd keep it too. But that's not true. Sometimes people send you stuff. If I say, you know, for instance, you know, if you get a free gift card to a restaurant you don't want to eat at, you don't always eat there. Sometimes you just give it away. You know what I mean? So same thing. Sometimes a piece of gear just doesn't appeal to me, even if it's free. So that all being all that said, I liked it, but I prefer my Princeton for the same price. The Princeton is, I actually paid the same for my Princeton as I did for that amp. And keeping one, I kept the Princeton. And it's not any like tubes versus solid state or any of that stuff. I just feel like I liked it better overall for the sound. Greg's question is, hey, Phil, the Lead Guitar Toolkit is pretty cool app. He's talking about the video I did on that app, which I want to talk about. That's great. Says, thanks for sharing and glad you're here today. Thank you. I'm glad you're here today, Greg. And thank you so much, dude, for saying that to me. I love, you know, this is one of those things that I get asked sometimes on this channel, like, what's your favorite video? And I always say, and I've said this consistently for many years now, all my favorite videos are the your guys' least favorite videos. It's just how the irony is. If I was going to pick my favorite video for this year, that's that Lead Guitar app toolkit. I loved it. I feel like I'm a better guitar player for it. I feel like $15, I've had a ton of guitar lessons. I have a great guitar teacher, as you guys know, and I've never paid $15 and haven't gotten so much out of something. And I really feel like, and the reason I like that kit, the reason I decided is I did edit out a piece, and I do kind of now regret editing out this piece. The version that the patrons got of that video was a little longer, and there was a piece about this truthful piece I'm about to tell you. And I took it out because I felt like it sounded salesman-y, and I took it out. And now I realize maybe it should have stayed in, which is in all the years I've been doing YouTube videos, 750 review videos, I have been approached by at least 24 lesson entities that do apps or do programs or, you know, all kinds of things to review them and then share them with you. And this is the only one I ever chose to do so, because every single one of those, I've always said the same thing, which is send that to me, let me check it out. And I literally checked it out and I was playing music and enjoying myself within minutes. And I was like, okay, I got to share this with everybody. And so I mentioned that in the video, but I did take it out and I now kind of regret it. The one complaint, of course, is that it doesn't do Droid. And so you guys know, I use a Droid phone. That's like my main phone. And so I understand you guys' pain. However, what was really shocking to me, I understand it looked like it was 50-50. Half the players were like, you know, fine with it. And half the players were upset that there wasn't a Droid or Galaxy, you know, system. I actually wanted those comments in there. So thank you to everyone who complained, because I agree with you, but me saying it sometimes, you know, who am I to this company? You know what I mean? They sent me an app. Who cares? They don't care what I think. They just wanted me to present it to you. That's their end goal. Like all companies, they just want me to say, just like all YouTubers, they wanted me to talk about their products so you guys buy their product. That's their end goal for the most part. However, they do read those comments. And so that when they see half the comments are, hey man, why is this only iOS? Maybe that will prompt them to get motivated and get that supported on Android and other the other platform and stuff. So hopefully that will work. But also, so you know, I use an iPad, and most musicians, in fact, so you know, I don't personally know any musicians that don't use a tablet for some degree. So it's a real common thing for me. So I don't really see it that way. That's not a thing saying every musician should have an iPad. I'm just saying the most I did. Most I do have them. So I didn't think about it. But thank you for thinking of me for that video. Like I said, I enjoyed it. For all of you that got the app and enjoyed it, great. And then for all of you that had an issue with the app, in other words, whether it didn't work for you or you didn't like the fact that it wasn't on Android, thank you for posting that to that company. Again, that's good. It's good. And if I notice that they don't notice, so you guys know, I do send that to them. I always do that. Whenever there's negative comments that are weighted, in other words, I see a lot of you putting something on a product, I send it right to that company. Why not? So, Jane's question is, I recently moved all my gear to my basement. Okay. Right. It has no AC. Okay. Should I be worried about the heat affecting my guitars? Also, have you seen the ICH something 10? I gotta Google this part. Cause, I told you, I don't know. I never thought of myself as having any kind of massive learning disability, but I finally, every time you guys give me a code, some kind of IC253 thing, I can't figure it out. Like, yeah, see, I just Googled this and, oh, electric guitars. So this must be a company. This is that Ibanez. Here, let me share. Ta-da! So that's what she's asking about. Yes, I saw this one. This is basically like the Quest, right? This is the Signature Artist run, right? I watched his video of it. Very talented, very cool guitar. Yeah, I like I said, I'm on board. I love it. I love this idea. New guitars, different vibes. You know, hey, I'm hoping that even better this appeals to younger players. Because again, you know, not all the younger players are going to just want to play old Les Pauls and Strats, you know, and Tellys. But back to your core question, having no AC. I live in Arizona, and there's really no basements here because the ground is so hard, right? Just so you know, my neighbor's grass, they had to redo their, just to give you reference of where I live, because, you know, people live different places. You probably, this is a true story, by the way. This is about 3 weeks ago. My neighbor's grass in their backyard, they had to redo their water system. I don't know what you call it, right? The irrigation system. And the landscapers came. They had a jackhammer. They had a jackhammer through the grass, the lines to run the new irrigation, because after about probably that much depth of the grass, it was just, it's hard rock here. And it's because, you know, it's what happens. It's why everything floods in Arizona, by the way. When it rains here, the ground is so dry and so dense that if too much rain comes down too fast, which is what happens in the summer, it can't absorb it into the ground because it's so hardened that it runs on top. And then that's why we have flooding and we have, you know, all kinds of stuff. What do they call it? They have a term for it too. I don't know. It's a flooding, but they call it something else here. Oh, flash flood. They call it flash flood. That's not a joke. You see signs here. It says flash flood because literally if it rains enough, the rain can't absorb in the ground. It just runs like little rivers immediately. The reason I tell you that is basically don't listen to me when it comes to the basement because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you what I think I understand and maybe it'll help you. My understanding is that the benefit of a basement is that the temperature stays consistent throughout the year. So that AC and heating isn't really a big deal. The Tone King has a basement, so maybe he's the guy to ask. But what I will tell you is what I also think I know about basements, and again, please understand this is just hearsay information I've gotten, is that they're also very moist. And I will tell you that I've heard that consistent from friends that have basements, is that's probably the bigger problem. It's not the temperature, but the humidity. There's a lot of it. And although a little humidity is good for your guitar, a lot is just like I said, instruments don't like extreme heat, extreme cold, extreme wet, extreme dry. They don't like extremes. They like to be, like I said, a perfect world and for a guitar, acoustic or electric, is a perfect world for you. In other words, if you're happy, they're happy. If you're dry and dehydrated, they're probably dry and dehydrated. If you're sopping wet, they're sopping wet. It's this kind of easy way, rule to follow. Matthew's question says, hey, Phil. Hi, Phil. I have a 500K potentiometer that can't get any ohm reading on. Oh, okay. Outer pen to outer pen or the wiper reading. I assume it's junk. How does this happen? Well, there's a ton of things that can go wrong with it. I mean, it's not, to be honest with you, here's the thing, man. The parts are so cheap, it's kind of really not worth diagnosing what goes wrong with them. I don't know if it's a new part or an old part. If it's an old part, they will literally wear spots. And some of those spots, what happens is it's not even from using it all the time. All that really does a damage on it. That's why they have low friction pots. Is that sometimes you keeping your volume pot, like me, I'm actually a culprit of this. I keep mine a corner turned back a lot. And because it's a quarter turned back all the time, it's resting on the contact point. They can corrode and oxidize a little bit and cause all kinds of problems. But a lot of times it's wear out, stuff happens. Or, I mean, it's not like there's no temperature. Sometimes you can really, by heating up the pots and cooling down, they expand and contract and they get micro cracks in the filaments in the line, in the trail lines. But that's not something that I've ever seen with this. So I'm just kind of throwing out some ideas because I don't know. But my guess is, it just wore out if it's old. If it's new, it was probably just made defective. I am not a fan of throwing things in the trash, and I'm definitely, that's why I want to fix things. That's why I fix things for a living. However, stuff like that, it's a little hard sometimes to spend a whole afternoon trying to fix something that costs $6. Just to, you know, you have to weigh out your time appropriately, is what I'm trying to say. Lidvay says, missed super chats for 2 weeks. Okay, thanks for the strings. Oh, you got them already? That's awesome. That's awesome, buddy. So Litvay's daughter is playing short scale bass, and I had my wife send him some of those D'Addario nylon tape wound strings. I'm really, man, she's on it. I thought it'd take a month to get there. So he says, I'm wondering about your custom shop Strat. Why humbuckers? You make these wonderful hand wound single coils. That was a shout out, everybody. Watch the Squire review. You must like single coils. I do love single coils. So the copper Strat is kind of like this weird, horrible Franken thing that I've been torturing for many years. Remember, I love my copper Strat and I play it. And I've said this before and I will continue to say this. That guitar gets no love. It all abuse. I abuse that guitar so much. Like I said, I've drilled and dowelled those holes for those screws on that pickguard way too many times. I've been tinkering around that guitar. And I've said this because although I have the Somnium guitar and I use the Somnium guitar a lot now, and that's taking a lot of the abuse away from the Copper Strat. The Copper Strat is a guitar that I'm extremely familiar with. This helps me, especially as a teaching aid or as a learning aid for when I'm doing video content. I know what that guitar sounds like, regardless of what pickup's in it. I know what, when I'm hearing it, what is the new pickup and what is the guitar? I know that guitar has a sound. I know it has a feel. So sometimes I like to test pickups in it. Currently, what's in it is some pickups called Northern Lights. Those are pickups I wound as well. And so that's why it's back in there. You notice it goes through trends. It'll have different pickups in it. That's why it doesn't have the single coils. What Litvay is talking about, the single coils are actually in my blue Strat. And there's a reason why, if you look at it, it's hard to tell, but they're two white ones and a cream one. It's because I just changed the bridge pickup with some other prototypey thing I was messing with. This is the problem when you do anything. You tinker. Which for me has worked out nicely having a YouTube channel, because all my tinkering sometimes turns into content for you guys, which has done well for me over the years. But I mean, it still doesn't, you know, still makes me want to tinker. So there you go. Thank you, Litvay. And I'm glad hopefully your daughter enjoys the strings. Lior D says, thank you and Brad for bringing Aiden's story to my attention. And no problem. Thank you guys. Now that's a great segue for this. I put a link down below, to Aiden. If you guys know what I'm talking about, the other day I did a video about this young man named Aiden who is going to be isolated for 100 days because he's getting a bone marrow transplant. This is something that I mean, there's a lot of things that you try to empathize with or understand. And, you know, obviously having surgeries, I can understand, you know, pain, I can somewhat gather and grasp. I mean, there's certain things you can understand in your life. But isolation like that for 100 days was a little scary for me even to think about, much less all the other repercussions. So thank you guys, every single one of you. If I haven't commented your comment on the video, I have gotten to 90% of them and I'll get to the rest. I wanted to personally thank every single one of you in the video. So I did that. You guys, awesome. Send those to Brad, the guitarist. Brad has to put all that stuff together. He's putting in the hours. So all I did was the shout out. So I feel like I got the credit and he's doing all the work. It's kind of like the, you know, I hate to say it, it's the kind of the reality of the musical world, right? The people putting on the show, doing on the work, they don't get the foreground. So I think I got more credit than I deserve. So thank you guys so much. Thanks, Brad the Guitologist. Thank you for China Guitar Skeptic. He did a shout out too. If I missed anyone else that did an actual video, I apologize to that channel. But thank you guys all for doing that. But like I said, if you want to watch, he's getting his Ibanez Micro. There's a video down below. I put a link if you guys are interested in that and seeing what that boy is getting. A lot of you guys said, hey, you know, why don't we buy him a guitar? He already has a guitar. They're already making him a guitar. By the way, Al John from Epiphone also sent me a text and said that he's going to see about Epiphone getting him a guitar. And I'm sure that he'll reach out to Squishy Guitar Project, maybe get them somebody else. Since he's getting a guitar, maybe somebody else get the guitar and they'll do something. But either way, the outpour of support was beyond amazing for you guys. And I know it's hard. Look, it took me 20 takes. I know I deleted them this morning. It took me 20 takes to get that 40-second video for Aiden. So I don't know if all you had the same problem, but it was hard. You know, like, what do you say? And you guys did it. And I can't imagine, man. That's a harder thing to ask for than like $10 donations. I'll be honest. Putting people's time is valuable. And so I appreciate you guys giving him some of yours. And again, thank you to everyone at the Squishy Guitar Project, to Angie, to Eddie, to Brad, to everyone. Tampa Blues says, enjoyed your show as always. I appreciate that, Tampa Blues. And then we have David. David says, I sent a HB2 back, so he's hollow body 2, to PRS for new pickups and electronics. Oh, is that TPC? Okay, I'll get to that. I don't want to get too sidetracked. It came back with a lot of static noise in the piezo signal on both output jacks. Any ideas? I'm trying to avoid shipping the guitar again. So it's possible that it's got static electricity built up in the guitar in the finish. That happens. If they change out your electronics, it could happen. You can use a fabric softener and spray it on you don't want to use anything with cakey film. I use a spray fabric softener onto microcloth or cotton cloth, and then just get it, you know, pat it so it's just barely damp, because you don't want to get on the finish. It won't hurt it, but don't get it on the finish. And then I try to wipe off any static electricity, discharge it. That could be the problem. There could be they burnt your pot up. That's the potentiometer. That's another unfortunate sign of a burnt up potentiometer, is a slight cracking noise. It's going to sound like static. That could happen. You know what I mean? Let's be clear. I mean, you know, it could happen. So that's what I would do first. Cause like you said, you don't want to send it back. I don't blame you. It's a big process to send that back and go through all that stuff. It sucks. The other thing, cause it is the piezo system and the static noise is coming from that again, it could be that got burn up again. Sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. But I would try that. But then, unfortunately, if that doesn't work, I would send it back and have them do it. They did the work. It should be right. So what I will tell David, what I will tell you to do is something I've learned to do is I'm always honest with the person who does the work like that. So what happens is, in this case, you send the product to them to have it fixed or modified. They've done work, and the work is not quality, and now you have to send it back. And so what I would suggest to you is what I would do, which is if I sent something back, I would politely ask for some compensation. Fixing the problem is not compensation. I've had this problem before with viewers talking about like Sweetwater, because you know we all like Sweetwater, but Sweetwater, you know, they're like, oh, they sent me a guitar, it was defective, but I contacted them and they were great. They sent out a new one. I'm like, well, of course they sent out a new one. You bought a new one. That's not above and beyond this call of service. That's service. There's nothing to be upset about, but it's not something to praise. Doing the right job is par for the course, right? So what I'm saying is, you getting your guitar back with the way it's supposed to be is par for the course. So what I find is, if you don't ask for some kind of compensation, what I find is, and this is as I've said this before, as someone who's been on both sides of the counter, and as a retailer and as the customer, what I've learned is that you will internalize this later. Slowly it'll eat at you and piss you off. even if you're passive about it, you'll slowly not like the guitar as much. Things will happen because you'll feel like you didn't get what you, you know, what you paid for. So what I find is maybe say, hey, look, it's defective. It needs to go back. And they, you know, they'll say, hopefully, no problem. We'll send you an RA label and you can ship it right back. And ask. Here's exactly what I say. I say, look, is there anything extra you can do to the guitar? Anything to kind of compensate for this lost time with the instrument? You know, anything like that. Give them an opportunity to excel. Okay. Hopefully in a good business, hopefully they will not need you to give them the opportunity. They will take that opportunity by saying, we're really sorry. How about we give you a Paul Reed Smith t-shirt and some picks and some strings or something, right? Give, you know, right. You gotta make sure the customer gets the value. Otherwise they're not coming back. So in this case, if they do that, great. If they don't, I'm suggesting to you to go ahead and ask for that extra service. Because otherwise, we all know, look, there's 700 of us here hanging out on Saturday talking guitars. A lot of us know what's going to happen. You're going to get it, send it to them, they'll fix it, you'll get it back, you'll dink around with it for a few weeks or a couple months, and then you'll sell it off. Because even though they fixed it, it just won't have this good memory or moment with you. Because let's face it, this is all for joy. It's got to bring you joy. That's my suggestion. Okay. Hold on a second. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to put their comments in there too. Okay. All right. Let me refresh this screen. Okay. Meester says, want to get another guitar. Deal my wife. If I lose 25 pounds, new Eastman Romeo LA is mine, and he's down 7 pounds. Okay, so, right, that's a great idea. By the way, we all can use that. I'm working on my COVID weight now. Right now, it sucks. So it says, especially since I got smart. When I started gaining the weight during COVID, I decided to lose it, and I lost most of it. But COVID wasn't over. I don't know if anyone's had this problem. A lot of people in America have definitely had the COVID weight issue. But my problem was I got COVID weight, and then I decided, okay, we're going to change things up. And I did the right thing and I lost some weight, but what happened was COVID wasn't over. So as I was losing weight, you know, I was easy to fall back into the bad habits of, I guess we're going to DoorDash or instead of cook dinner, because who cares? So anyways, to your point, 25 pounds to get the Eastman Romeo. Great. You're down to seven. Down seven. I think that's a great idea. What a great way to do that. I applaud it. And, I'm rooting for you, buddy. BB says, love your show. I have bought guitars, amps, and pedals online. Is there any type of gear you would not buy or prefer not to buy online? I really don't enjoy buying acoustics online. Because that's something more personal to me. An acoustic is just more than just how it plays or sounds. It's everything about the guitar. And so I have only bought one acoustic guitar in my entire life online. And more importantly, I've only bought one acoustic guitar in my entire life that I hadn't played first or played. And I just did it this week. And it's a Taylor baby Taylor. And it's because I'm doing a video with it and I bought it. And believe it or not, I went to the Guitar Center because I thought, oh, maybe the local Guitar Center have one. And one Guitar Center had one, and the action was jacked up, and it looked like it'd been played by about 6,000 guitar players. And so I was looking at it, and I was like, you know, it doesn't feel new to me. So I went home and just ordered it online, and the one out of the box was fine. But that's the first time I ever did that. But that's the one thing I kind of stay away from. Everything else, I think I can calculate. What I find is a lot of times the store never helped me. Having an experience in a store or playing an instrument has never helped me decide I want it. That usually helps me. I decide I don't want it. That's the advantage to the store. In other words, deciding I want a guitar usually is a longer process than spending 10 minutes with it. That's why sometimes when you guys ask me, have you ever played this? And I'll say, yeah, but for 10 minutes. To me, that's not really an experience of it. To me, I have to play stuff for weeks. That's why you guys tend to get irritated when something comes in and you're like, you still haven't released that video. And I'm like, I need weeks with something. I am very quick to the wrong decision sometimes. Sometimes I think I love something and then 2 weeks later I don't. Sometimes I think I hate something and then 2 weeks later I love it. I need to spend time with things to process what it is that it is. But when it comes to playing stuff or buying stuff online, what I've learned is I can go in a store and instantly go, oh, maybe I don't need this. But most of the time, my real decisions are always done at home with the product. So buying online is not a drawback for me. It's just, you know, it's just not a drawback. Okay. Bradley says, what are the chances of me damaging a tube amp? I'm a trucker and the road gets rough. Should I worry about tubes? I mean, think about this. They ship amps every day in trucks, you know, and I understand they're in foam blocks. I've not had any issues with that. To be honest with you, what I will tell you, what usually you worry about is the reverb tanks as they get, you know, as you hear them crashing and stuff, sometimes the springs in them break. They're really delicate. Accutronix tanks are notoriously known for just kind of crapping out on you. A lot of times if it goes out, you just take it out of the amp and you can fix the problem, solder something or fix it. But no, I wouldn't really worry about that too much. They're not that delicate. To the point, you know what I mean? Like I said, they tour the world. I mean, I understand they're in cases and stuff, but I mean, tube amps get abused. George says, thanks for the information on Aiden's situation. More of that conversation, which is great to talk about. It says, praying for him and his family. Yes. And again, it's tough on the internet. It's tough in this environment to suggest to you stuff like that. I always say, plead out your good wishes, put out your prayers. Again, whatever it is you do, I understand everybody's different. Different cultures, different people have different ways to do that. But what I do know is this, is that whether or not you believe in praying or whether or not you just want to put out good thoughts out there, or if you just, you know, whatever, all of it is helpful, is my opinion. You know what I mean? I think it all works. And I appreciate you all doing that. I'm sure they appreciate that, doing that. Matt says, I hope you have a wonderful holiday. Thank you. I plan to. We're going to do we used to do a barbecue on 4th of July. And what we're going to do tomorrow, because my daughter has to work, is we're going to do a hot dog bar. This is my stupid idea. My wife said okay to it. So we're going to, you know, I'm going to have my wife's going to make all this, like a bar, you know what I mean? So like chili and peppers and onions and, you know, pickles and, you know, mustard and all that stuff. And then, you know, everybody can make a hot dog and do it like that. Make it like build your own kind of thing. I thought that'd be fun. Something to do, since, you know, it's going to be a day. And I unfortunately have to actually work tomorrow too, a little bit. So it kind of works out. Lack of self-control. Nice sign-on. Says, hey, my dude, been watching your stuff forever. Wanted to give a bit back. Thanks for providing endless information and fun content. Thank you for the comment that always kind of makes me smile is the fun content. You know, I at first, I didn't understand on YouTube. For me, I didn't understand that I was entertaining people. I thought I was just like, I'm sharing information. But over the years, I've learned, like, this is entertainment. I'm an entertainer at some degree. Actually makes me feel better. You know, COVID definitely made me understand how hard it is to be an entertainer. You know, everybody had trouble during COVID, but it was weird. I luckily had a resource, a group of friends who obviously are YouTubers as well. And sometimes that was a nice resource to lean on them, because the truth is a lot of us were talking and it's like, I don't feel like making any videos, man. And it was a weird thing. And then you're like, I always thought like I wasn't an entertainer. I was I'm an educational channel. I teach people things or I show things or experience things and share that. And then I realized like, no, man, there's entertainment to this. Cause I kind of like when I'm in a bad mood, I don't want to make any content whatsoever. And it's hard to fake good mood. It's just out of all the things, right? It's almost the impossible thing to kind of convey. It's like the audience can read you too easy. So I had to find a lot of ways to get in a good mood. So there you go. Wanna Beetle says, I'm his favorite webcam girl. I think that's a compliment. I'm going to take it at this point. Okay, Chris wants to know what I think of brass nuts. Well, I think it takes brass nuts to sell real estate. I know it's balls, but I still liked it. All right. Anyways, for those Glengarry Glen Ross fans out there, I like them. Obviously, like I said, I personally, you know, I'm not talking about a tonal aspect. Everybody's going to have tonal, you know, thoughts and feelings. I like, as a someone who works on the guitars a lot, you know, a lot of times I just want the guitars to perform the best because that's what most of my customers are looking for. And so I find the harder the material the nut is made of, the better the guitar is going to stay in tune, the better the guitar is going to perform. So brass, bone, graphite, all those to me are fantastic. Obviously the stuff that Graftech makes, the new bone and the Tusk with a Q, all this stuff, again, works great. I've had good experience with all of it, but I find the harder the material, the better. If you notice a lot of the guitars, I've done two guitar builds on the channel where I've used brass, and that's something I use, and I've used bone. So, like I said, when I did the beer caster, I used an actual deer bone that I got from Neil Moser. That was really cool. Okay, so how are we doing? I think we're good. Let's button these up, because that way everybody can start their weekend. We're in the weekend, but we're going to button it up. We have the last super chat will be Copa Fele Feel. I don't know what that is. Copa Feel. Copa Feel. Oh, nice. I like it. All right. Matt wanted me to just know he wanted me to have a happy holiday. Thanks for all the time and information you share. Thank you, and happy holiday to you as well. I think I said that one. George says, hey, Phil, what straps do you use that have ends dangling from the guitars behind you? Sure, I only use one strap, and it's a DiMarzio strap, although I do have one D'Addario strap that I got that I like. I forget the name of that strap, but it's like a clip-on strap, and I use that for that's what I have if I go somewhere and use someone else's guitar, because these straps don't work for that. So I use DiMarzio clip-lock straps. I've been using those straps since 1992. Like, literally, I have all the straps I ever bought from DiMarzio. So I have straps mixed on these. Some of these guitars are straps from 92, 93, 94. Like, literally, it's what I use. And I've said this before. Not only do I like them, I like the feel of it. It feels like a seatbelt. I like that I feel like the guitar is locked on there. I just like them. However, it's also like once you go, like a locking system where you go Dunlop or Schaller, once you go with this system, just like if you pick those systems, you kind of got to make all your guitars that system. So that's why I use them. There you go. So there we go. Trying to think of anything else. That's it. I have like every color, including most of the colors they don't make anymore. And they make them here in the United States. They make them in New York, which is another thing I like. The quality, made in the USA, $25, street price. Although, you know, back in the day, you could pick them up for $12 all day long. But, you know, things aren't like what they used to be. Mathis says, cheers from Sweden. The show is great. As always, everyone hit the like button. Ah, thank you. I appreciate that, Mathis. That's a very kind of you to tell everybody to do that. Copperfield says, went to Guitar Center yesterday and they offered no help. They offered no help? I don't want to read the rest of the question yet. I just want to get that out of my head right now. See, in my head, they're walking up to you and they're like, we're not going to give you any help, but we offered no help. I know what you mean, but in my head, I just picture some guy walking up to you going, sir, I just want to let you know I'm offering you no help. And then you would go, you are the most honest Guitar Center employee I've ever seen. Again, I hate bagging on Guitar Center employees. I like bagging on Guitar Center a little bit because it's a big corporation. They could take it. But the employees, like I said, sure, there's bad employees. For every bad employee, there's good employees. I've seen them. But yeah, let's go to the rest of his question. He says, not one person asked if I needed help until I was walking out, bought the guitar online. Yep. It's tough. You know, anyone who's worked retail knows that's a tough thing, right? It's how much and how little do you reach out and talk to the person, walk around the store? And I'm not saying that's the case. Sometimes you're just lazy and then are, you know, not giving a crap. Not giving a crap is a big part of employees everywhere on the world. But sometimes it is just like, okay, well, let's let him, he looks like he knows what he's looking at, or she knows what she's looking at. Let's let her alone. And then all of a sudden they're leaving and you're like, oh crap, that wasn't the right decision. Sometimes it is honest as that. In other words, they just like, sometimes they overbearing, like I've had the overbearing salesperson, right? I had the weirdest salesperson guitar experience I've ever had actually was at a Sam Ash, not a Guitar Center. And it was, I picked up a guitar and I was playing it. This is about 10 years ago. And I picked up a guitar, I was playing it. And the guy walked by me and out of nowhere just looks at me and goes, that guitar looks good on you, man. And I'm like, and then he kept walking by. And I remember thinking like, this is the most awkward thing. Like, it was so over the top salesman-y, I didn't know if I should laugh or cringe. And I did a little of both. And I was just like, and then here's where the psychology came in. For, I was like, does it really look bad on me? And that's his way of overcompensating how bad this looks. And I'm like, why does it have to look? Why didn't he say it sounds good? Why didn't he say that guitar sounds good, man? He said that guitar looks good on you. I was like, huh? So yeah, it's a hard thing. Look, to be honest with you, most time at Guitar Center, I don't want them to talk to me. I'd like to get in the store and get out. One thing I liked about the masks, we were wearing masks, I could get in a store and walk around. And I feel like it, not because people are like, oh, that's a YouTube guy. None of that stuff. I'm just literally with a mask. It's just like, you're less approachable. But the Guitar Center, the problem is like half the time you need an employee because everything's locked up. I don't know where you guys are. Obviously everybody lives different places, but the Guitar Center is where I live. Everything is like, it's like a turning into a jewelry store. You know those jewelry stores where they got to buzz you in? Maybe that's like pawn stores too, but you know, they got to buzz you in the store. I think Guitar Center just should go to that. At this point, I wish Guitar Center, in fact, how about this? We might get some views on this video. So let's put this out there. I'll timestamp it. To the managers of the Guitar Center chain, lock your doors and buzz everyone in like they do in those jewelry stores. And then unlock all the crap in the store so people can check it out. Every time I go into all the Guitar Centers, it started with the top row of crap locked up, which I've already said this before, but I'll say it again, which is extremely annoying because of the fact that every time you want to check a guitar out, you got to get the employee to get the ladder out. They look like it's like five OSHA violations to get this guitar. I have watched them physically hang off the ladder in the guitar while they're unlocking with one hand, like if they're going to fall and kill themselves for minimum wage. I actually, out of guilt, can't even ask for guitars off the top row. I just can't do it. The other thing that drives me crazy is, again, you're locking up all the pedals now. You're locking up everything. Everything is just locked down. And now they're putting the locks on the lower rows. So you walk up to a guitar. Like I said, that baby Taylor I was talking about that looked like it was action was this high, it was also locked. So I was just looking at it. You couldn't get it. You have to find somebody to unlock this guitar for you. Now, I understand they have theft and all these problems, but just lock the person in, and then when you go to the door, they can see that you haven't stolen anything and buzz you out. At this point, it would be a more pleasant experience. It's hard to spend money in your store. Now, the reason why I want to say all this is, oh, it's in my wallet. I don't have it with me. I still have all these, I have these Guitar Center gift cards. I cannot spend them. I keep going to Guitar Center, and everything I want to look at is locked up. And I, even though I have these gift cards, I just don't want to get somebody to unlock this thing so I can walk up to them and tell them I don't want it so they can go lock it up. It just, it's making the process too long and scary. At this point, just buzz us in, right? You used to have the greeters checking us in and out. Just lock us in and lock, you know, buzz us in and out. That's my opinion. Let's see what you guys all say to that. You guys like that idea or not? I find this the other stuff is, yeah. Brian S. Guitar says amps have a cord attached to an alarm thingy. Not only is that crazy, check this out. I know you guys asked me, a ton of you guys asked me if I like the Spark or the THR Yamaha 10. And I went to Guitar Center with the gift card. Okay, so I have money at this store, right, that I can spend. And it, to me, it was like a perfect world. I can buy this with the gift card. I can review the THR 10 on the channel, compare it to the Spark, maybe get two videos out of it, right? And then actually decide which one I like better. The THR 10 at the store had no power cable. I go and find the employee and I'm like, yeah, I want to try that THR 10 out, the Yamaha. There's no power cable. And he's like, yeah, somebody stole it. I'm like, are you kidding? And they're like, no. He goes, they actually still like all the power cables. So I'm laughing. Look, I had a store. Stuff gets stolen all the time. It happens, right? However, there was no way for me to try the product out. And so I just didn't know. I didn't know. Yeah, somebody says swipe your card to get an entry. There you go. I'll do it. I'm different than some people, but I would do it. I would swipe my card. Not to pay, but like they check your balance on your card. Yeah, he can buy something. He gets to come in the store. At this point, it would be a better experience than them, like you guys said, locking down the cables, locking down all the guitars. I understand it's getting out of control out there, and I understand. What's funny about my Guitar Center specifically, more so than the other ones, is the Guitar Center that I go to is in a shopping center that's a very high-end shopping center. Very high-end. Like, the rents in that shopping center are insane because it's a nice high-end shopping center. And even in that shopping center, they have everything locked down. Like I said, you're in a bad neighborhood pawn shop or something. It's weird. But yeah, there you go. Somebody says copper is worth money, man. Yeah, I guess. I can understand some of the power cords are stealing because they're interchangeable. But it's weird to me. I'm like, really? There's somebody out there apparently with a Yamaha THR-10 who doesn't have the power cable. It's like, all right, here's my plan. We're gonna go, let's just go down this road for a second. Somebody's got a minute. Picture these two guys in their car in the Guitar Center parking lot. Okay. What you're gonna do is you're gonna go ask them about this guitar, and then while they're helping you with that, I'm going to get the power cable off the THR-10 Yamaha, and then I'm gonna stick it down my pants, and then I'm gonna sneak out. They're like, we should wear masks. No. Just trust me, man. This is what we're going to do. You're the decoy. I'll get the cable out of here. No problem. I have no idea how to rationalize that. But here's what I love the most, though. And then I'm done. I'm off the subject. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I'm just curious. Sometimes I like talking about this stuff because then later when the video replays, I'll watch your guys' comments to see how many of you are having the same experiences, and some of you guys do and don't. But what I love is, do you guys notice this? They have guitars locked on the wall, but then they're missing all the knobs and parts because people just stole the parts off the guitars because the guitar is locked on the wall. You're like, oh, this is crazy. Brian said also at his Guitar Center, you can't get a clip-on tuner. Every guitar in the store is out of tune. I use my my Boss Tuner app that's free on my phone. I stick it on my lap and I just go off that. I don't go to Guitar Center on the Saturdays and stuff, usually when it's all slam busy. I try to go when it's like a little more dead, if I can help it. Wanna Beetle said, when I worked at Sam Ash, the employees, which that would be you, by the way, were the ones stealing the money in the out of the registers. Yeah, employees steal from stuff. I have had employees steal from stuff, of course. Theft is part of the business. Yeah. It's why they have cameras watching the employees, too. It sucks. Crappy people ruin everything. All right. On that point, what are we going to do? I want to check to make sure. Okay. So I had Bradley do a super chat, and I know I said no more, but just because I actually was wrong. I thought we were at the 2-hour mark. We were at the 1-hour mark. So we're going to go for a few more minutes. It says, Phil, you're the man. I love what you do. Thank you. These compliments are always too kind. You mentioned how impressive the tops have been on your PRSSE, the blue Zach Myers, for example. What's the worst you've seen? The worst tops I've seen, like on a veneer top, because I mean, obviously, like, you know, on solid tops, there's all kinds of stuff where they're washed out and stuff. The worst tops I've usually seen are Schecter guitars. Schecter guitars usually have these vibrant quilt tops, especially veneers. But overall, and I, like I said, love the quality of the way they play, love the sound, love Schecter as a whole. But sometimes their veneers are, they stain them really dark. Usually if you're staining something really heavy dark, like dark, dark, dark red, dark, dark black, like they do at Schecter guitars, they're hiding the tops. They're a little not exciting. Those have been that way. And I haven't looked, that's not like recent. So, you know, that's over the last couple of years I've noticed. That's important to mention because, like, they could be doing it better now. I wouldn't have noticed. So, okay. Yeah, Mojo 67 says, quote of the day, crappy people ruin everything. Yes, they do. Fret Level Midnight says, talking about the keep a cheap tuner in the glove box of your car. That's a good idea as well. All right. Unless anyone has any last topics to talk about, I think we'll call it so everyone can get on their weekend. Oh, you know what? I know what we can end the show out with. Let me end out with a couple of these pen questions from the beginning that were really nice. This one was from Devin, who said, hey, Phil, why do most nylon guitars not come with truss rods? Is it worth taking one to get it set up? So that is a real common thing for a lot of even expensive, really expensive nylon guitars. No truss rod. The reason is because one, the strings don't have that much tension, so a truss rod is really not that needed. The necks are generally kind of thick, pretty bulky, a lot of strength in that piece of mahogany there, and of course the string tension is much less than a steel string guitar. That being said, there's also, if you really get into high-end classicals, a lot of classical players do not want a truss rod because, and I mean high-end, $10,000, so you know. I mean, classical guitars are, they're next-level stuff. When you see people who are, players who are really into classical guitars, they laugh at people who think $3,000 guitars are expensive. They feel the truss rod changes the guitar's resonance. You know what I mean? It's not a positive. It's a negative. Really inexpensive student grade acoustic, our classicals tend to not have truss rods, but then mid price ones now have truss rods. You don't really need one. You know what I mean? Obviously sometimes the necks can twist and stuff, but again, you know, you're taking that chance, but you don't really need one. And like I said, a lot of players don't want them. That's why they tend to not have them. They don't need them, and a lot of players don't want them. Double-edged sword there. Michelle wanted to know, hey, Phil, I just got $100 off a new Emily Wolf Stealth Sheraton from Sam Ash. It was a demo model, but came in great shape. No scratches or bruises. You're right, the deals are out there. And what's great about that is Emily Wolf, if you guys don't know, check out her music. Emily Wolf is this very talented young lady. Again, I'm old, so understand, young lady. And what I will say about her, which was amazing, is she came up to me, I want to say 2018 NAMM show. Might have been 2019 NAMM show. She came up to me and basically said she liked my channel. I met her and her band, and then they invited me to come watch them play at the Gibson Epiphone booth. Very talented. She is now, I have her album and I have her on my playlist on Spotify and Pandora, and fantastic vocals, fantastic music. I wasn't shocked at all that she got a signature guitar. It was really cool. And it was really nice. And what was really great about that was, you know, I'm sure it's like, hey, she knew my channel. But what was really interesting to me was, she is, very few stories to have like this, where somebody comes up to me and says something polite like that. And then I look them up and I'm like, oh, wow, I feel horrible. Like, how did I not know who she was? She's obviously way more talented and has a broader reach than my little YouTube channel. So very impressive. I highly recommend checking her out. And like I said, I would love to do a video of her guitar. That would definitely, you guys asked me to check out, maybe buy some more Epiphones and do them on the channel. If I was to buy another Epiphone, that would be one of the ones I would consider for sure. Cause that would be something I would be interested in owning. So the last Epiphone I bought, I reviewed it, flipped it, sold it. It's very hard to break even on that kind of situation. You know what I mean? So sometimes you come ahead, sometimes you break even, but it's not easy. Sometimes it's a lot easier if it's something I want, because I can just buy it for myself, do it in the video, and give you guys, share some thoughts. Okay, Stout Coffee. This is what I wanted. This is a self-indulgent question. It says, Stout Coffee says, as an off-topic question, What kind of fireworks do you guys get nearby? He means in Arizona. Where I'm at in California, it's mostly legal ground fireworks, but some people go across to, into Nevada to buy illegals. I have no idea. I know they sell fireworks in Arizona now. I think it's been illegal now for about 5 years, maybe a little longer. To me, it's the dumbest thing on the planet Earth. I just got to tell you how I feel, man. I live in the freaking desert, and it's a drought this year, by the way. They're probably going to start restricting our water usage in August, is what I've heard from the state, because we're in a drought. And we have massive fires here because it's the desert in a drought, and we're selling fireworks. And again, I feel always a little bit of guilt because I know some people out there that are selling fireworks. I'm sure that this is their livelihood and they need to make money. And I don't, you know, like anyone, I don't want to break somebody's ability to make money, but I have a feeling we're going to have some fires next week in the state. I hope that I'm wrong. In fact, I'm praying that I'm wrong. I've never wanted to be so wrong ever. But it just seems dumb. Fireworks suck for me because I don't go outside to watch fireworks because my kids aren't little anymore. And it's 110 usually during 4th of July here. And I mean at night when the fireworks are going off. So I'd rather go swimming. So we go swimming, but the dogs, my dogs are just, you know, they freak out from the fireworks. They go nuts. So it's, and so 4th of July for me and my wife are usually about like keeping the dogs in and making sure that they don't, you know, they're okay. But yeah, they do fireworks here. It's because, you know, because it's money and the state can make money and it's, but it's, I was shocked to see it this year when I was like, hey, we're in a drought, but we're going to let fireworks go off. Great. Sounds like a great plan. As far as I know, again, like you, they're ground fireworks or something. I have no idea. I've never bought them. I've seen them at the Costco's or whatever, the Walmart's, there's like things, but I've never bought them. So. Okay. Oops. Okay. I think, yeah. Landon says dogs and fireworks don't work. Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, again, you know, it's like, you don't want to be the person raining on somebody's parade. So I mean, I'm happy people could enjoy fireworks again. Like I said, I have dogs and I don't have little kids. I'm sure if my kids were little and they enjoyed, you know, the sparklers and the fireworks, that'd be great. They don't. So at this point, it just doesn't appeal. It doesn't have any appeal for me. By the way, if you don't know who Landon Bailey is, you need to check out his YouTube channel. I don't know if I've done a shout out for Landon. He usually pops in the live shows from time to time. Great channel. He's very funny. He's, I don't know what I was going to say. I felt like I was going to say a different word than funny, but it was funny, Landon, I promise. Very funny, very interesting videos, very educational, very good channel to check out. So please check his channel out. After you watch every video on my channel, then go to his channel and watch one of his. I might be a little funny too there, Landon. Anyways, on that note, I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you guys for hanging out. It's an hour and a half, but like I said, it was a holiday weekend. I'm getting a lot of stuff done, which is good. There will be a live show. It'll be the European edition live show this Wednesday. Just because it's going to fit my schedule better this week. So hopefully you guys will join me on that. I appreciate everybody who joined me on this one and for all the great questions and all great comments and for supporting the Squishy Guitar Project and Aiden. I can't thank you guys enough for doing that as well. And there you go. On that note, I'll let you guys go. Until next week, thank you for your time. Know your gear.